Welcome to the F1 Fangirls Podcast. I'm Hayden.
And I'm Lyra.
And we're two best friends covering everything from the paddock to the podium. Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of the F1 Fangirls Podcast. As you can see, we have a very special guest here with us today. This is Riley Click. She's one of our very good friends, and I think she shares a very equal love for F1 as we do. So we brought her on today just to do a recap of Australia and then also contribute to our driver pyramid. So, Riley, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into F1, and then just spill it all. We want to hear.
Perfect. Hey guys, as you said, I'm Riley. Lyra actually got me into F1, and...
Same with me.
Yeah. I worked in a golf shop, and so, there were a bunch of guys in there, and every Sunday morning they would put on the race, and, at the time I thought it was stupid. I was like, why are we watching people drive around for 2 hours?
That's what they all say.
Exactly. And then they, like, started telling me about it, and, explained the race to me, and then it kind of was really interesting, and then next thing you know, I'm waking up at 2 a.m. for Suzuka, and everything, so I can watch every race. Big McLaren fan.
Big fan.
I mean, I just love McLaren, and hopefully we'll be working for them when I'm older, so there's that.
Exciting. We love that. And yes, Riley has become a very good friend of ours, a very good friend of mine, and we're very excited, obviously, to have her on today. So,
first guest.
Yes. Let's jump straight into our driver pyramid. Obviously, we have so much to talk about because Australia was a race. Let's just say that.
Why do you think so?
Yes. We were all together. We all were watching it live together. And let's just say it still kind of doesn't feel real. It still feels like a fever dream.
There's no way.
What happened? So we're going to dive straight into that. First of all, yes, did not feel real. But
first of all,
started the race. I mean, I feel like we all just kind of expect at this point that Max just wins and then that's it. Like, that's that. And I don't think any of us were expecting what happened because, I mean, it was.
Lap three, baby.
Yeah, first two laps, fine, as expected. And then lap three.
Went downhill for non-Max fans.
Yes, he came on the radio. He was like, "I have problems," and then we were like, "No way! Like this is not happening." And then
cut to brakes smoking and on fire.
We see him just like slowly go down, and then he obviously pulls into the pits, and then. We were like, I think you said it, but you're like, we're not considering it this like a real thing until they like push his car.
Yeah, it wasn't real until Verstappen out was on the TV.
And then we all started jumping and screaming and like being so happy.
Yeah.
We were. And I think I was really excited, obviously, when Carlos overtook Max. But then after he like was out, we were like, I was super happy. And obviously, like, it's sad that he was out. But I mean, after you get 43 straight, finishes, not obviously not wins because of Carlos, but
broke the streak. The last time he DNF'd was Australia 2022, so yes. Literally exactly insane. 2 years ago.
Yeah, so I think that was just insane. We were all very excited. Obviously, that's not great for Max, but hey,
he's still winning.
He's still winning the championship. Exactly.
If we look at last year with when they were in Singapore, Max had issues and he ended up finishing fifth. And then he came in Japan and beat everyone by like 4 laps. So Japan's next week.
Oh no.
Probably the same thing is going to happen. Oh, no. But we can be hopeful. Yeah. I mean, we were so excited. I was sitting in between them like I am now when we were watching it. And the next morning I woke up and I had bruises all over my arms.
We're like grabbing you.
It was fine.
Stressed out like at the end of the race, and I was like,
the flag at the end scared me so bad.
Georgia's radio was very.
I felt bad.
Okay, slow down.
We're getting into the pyramid.
But then everything's fine. Like we're at all smooth pace, and then Lewis is like engine failure, and we're like. What? Lewis and Max? Are you kidding me?
It didn't end there.
No.
Let's just say that. Because the funny thing was, Lewis was like, oh man, that car's a rocket ship. And then.
Was he talking about Checo or the McLarens?
I think he was talking about Checo.
I think it was Checo.
Yeah.
But then, like, I think it was that same lap he DNF'd. Then a few, I don't know, like a while later, George said like, "Oh, that's a rock."
Yeah. The same thing,
and then DNF. So it was kind of like
so that phrase is a curse.
And yeah.
We will also say that every race that Carlos has won in
and George Lando has podium crashed. On yes. the last
never,
lap.
Yes. Never get Lando podium.
It was yeah that
on the last.
Lap. That's also tradition. Because
no, it is.
He has crashed every single time Carlos has won.
It's like Max win from Charles pole. It's, yeah, it's a tradition. Insane.
Unfortunately.
And then with George's, obviously his crash, it was pretty bad. I mean, he crashed and then his wheel went under and that flipped him over. And it was really scary because he like came on the radio and he was like, red flag, red flag, red flag. Because there had been multiple incidents that... like that has not happened and people have gotten killed because they've just been sitting in the middle of the track. Like if you don't have a red flag, you don't know. Like you're just coming around the corner and then you see a car. Yeah. Like it's just, that's really scary. So it was, and obviously Alonso got pushed down to eighth because he got a penalty, but it was because when Alonso was keeping him out of DRS range, so he, obviously George couldn't pass him. And when they went into that turn, George was going too slow, which caused him to go off track and then hit that wall and then, like, swerve. And obviously, his wheel was under them. So, that was scary. And I was, like, originally, I was, like, why did Fernando get the penalty? And then I was, like, oh, it was because he was doing it on purpose. So, that was super scary. But, I mean, I was just so stressed out with Carlos that I, like, wasn't even thinking about it. And then after, I was, like... oh my gosh, like that's actually really bad.
Yeah.
I was being so delusional. I was like, oh my gosh, Charles could win because he was getting so close because Carlos was like, oh my gosh, my tires are wearing. Like he was stressing and I was like, Charles is taking giant chunks out of Carlos' time and then flagged so they can't overtake.
Well, he was also like 3 seconds.
Yeah, okay, two laps. Like, let me have my delusions. I was thinking he was going to get a grand slam. I wasn't thinking. Anyway, yeah. So that explains kind of Carlos being first on the pyramid because obviously he won. Charles got second, so.
I'm a certified Carlos hater, but yeah. He did deserve.
Which, let's say this. You have not admitted this for a very long time.
Months of months. This slander went on without admitting to being a hater.
She just like I think you wanted me to like this. You said you wanted me to like the sport, so therefore you did not believe me
and
about
I
it.
And I fed into her delusions.
And
about
now
Carlos.
She is just.
It's all. It's only because of the Oscar Carlos beef, isn't yeah. it? Or okay. did that start it?
So the first race that I watched without anyone else that I was like, I just wanted to watch yeah. it was I think Belgium when the whole Carlos and Oscar fiasco happened. And then Carlos went on Twitter and was like, oh, he's such a rookie. Obviously, I'm going to take Oscar's
side. What? A rookie.
Obviously, I'm going to take Oscar's side. Like, that's a given.
Obviously. Yeah.
So, I was kind of on the Carlos hate train. And then...
kinda.
Very much on the Carlos hate train. And then he saw some things where he wasn't following team orders very well. And so I was like,
she essentially thinks he's a really selfish person.
Watch Drive to Survive and okay. he literally admits it. Yeah, he literally calls himself selfish.
I feel bad for him for not having a seat next year and everything. And I wasn't.
But listen. okay. I think that, I mean, okay, obviously that I'm like so, so sad that he's not going to be a Ferrari next year. Like that's really sad.
Yeah.
But I think that obviously he still cares a lot about the team. He cares a lot about Charles yeah. too. Like especially when he came on the radio at the end and was like, tell Charles to come close.
Yes!
So
yes!
That was so sweet. But I think number one, as an athlete point of view, the fact that he had surgery and then came back 16 days later and won a race, like that says a lot. But I also think that that's helping him a lot to go and have a seat next year. So like obviously, you feel bad for him, but I think that that's good for him.
I think he definitely, because of his performance and being the only non-Red Bull winner in two seasons so far to
beat Max.
Yeah.
So, okay, Australia doesn't count as beating Max. I'll give you Singapore, but
yeah, I agree. But this time around, it
engine
did.
Engine failure, yeah. Brake issues, but
yeah.
And obviously, like, with Lewis and Max, I think that obviously is not their fault. None of that was their fault.
No.
It was the car and yeah, that's not their fault. And then I also wanted to talk about the fact that we said that Carlos cares a lot about the team. I think that if you look at Lewis right now, Lewis came out and was like, I'm really disappointed about this season and the car and just everything. Obviously, he's leaving next year. So, I mean, I want to say it. I think he's given up a little bit, which, I mean, he can, because obviously they're not giving him what he needs to perform well. And we saw that this weekend in Australia because he had engine failure. So I think he has given up, but I also think that that just proves more that I think he's going to thrive at Ferrari.
I think he's pouting. Like, I think he is. Because too, they didn't give him the ambassador, like, role, and they're not really, like, pouring into him. So he's like, oh, I'm not going to help you with the car. Yeah. I'm not going to do whatever. So, I mean, maybe that's just his personality.
Yeah, it totally looks like he's just thrown the towel in. And seeing that from a driver that's so well-respected by some it makes Carlos stand out. I am a big Carlos hater, I have to give him complete respect for how he's handled the situation that he's in.
Just looking at it from like the athlete's point of view, not the person's point of view. As an athlete.
losing his seat sucks, but he's still giving everything for Ferrari, and it looks like he's really working to help the team out rather than himself out.
But I think it is selfish because he's like, if I perform good, I'm guaranteed a seat. Which may not be completely true.
But that helps besides, because he's helping the team, but he's also helping his chances of getting a good seat next year. So like it's two for two. Like it's not like he's just being selfish about it.
Yeah. Every time a team has had a 1-2 in Australia, they've won the constructors. Yeah. Let's be delusional. Just a few more max DNFs and we've got it.
So, did y'all see like the P like touching the back of the car and just being like, she did it. She did.
Yeah, she was
touching the back of the car.
It was also the first race that she attended.
I was just about to say any DNFs, but he got to spend more time with her.
I think he was a little upset. She probably didn't want to be around.
He was holding her hand and like walking her around the track.
That was before the race.
I thought it was after.
It was after, but it was like way after.
Yeah.
But I mean, right now, Ferrari is 4 points behind Red Bull, which I know y'all are stoked about.
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh, yes.
It's race three.
Stop.
I can't.
McLaren did really. Yeah, moving. We need to keep moving with the pyramid. Yes. McLaren did insane, but I'm still annoyed about them asking them to switch. Like, I love Lando.
Okay, but also, Lando was on newer tires. And Lando was going faster. Yeah. So, like, yes, I think it's crappy, but also,
he was doing faster times than Carlos at one point, I think.
I mean, it was Oscar's home race, so
he was gonna do a shoey on the podium.
He was gonna be the first Aussie on the podium in Australia, and it was
officially staying on the podium.
That doesn't count. So obviously I was really hoping for Oscar to pull it through.
They're still next year.
Next year.
Unlike Carlos.
I'm so sorry.
Don't
apologize.
No, I'm not. Okay.
Anyway, so Oscar could have had his home race podium.
Lando was doing better. Lando also qualified ahead of Oscar, so it makes sense that he finished there because they both had really good races. Also, second race in a row that Oscar is fourth, so consistency. Really hoping he can be on the podium next.
A lot better than last year's start.
This was not like the Daniel and Yuki situation where it was like, why did you just switch them? Like, that made no sense.
Yeah, okay, I agree. Because they had
speaking of Daniel and Yuki.
Oh god.
I would like to point out, so Red Bull Daily released a statement that said that if Daniel does not perform in the next two races, which is Japan and China, then he will lose his seat to Liam. And we're going to be in Miami, which would be the third race, which means he would be replaced in Miami, which is terrible because we want to meet him so bad. But this happened with Nick DeVries.
And the person who replaced Nick is now possibly getting replaced.
And so it's like literally history repeating itself because Nick DeVries replaced, who did he replace?
Well, he filled in.
Yes, Nick replaced Gotifi. And then we've been over It go to the podcast episodes and it literally says love letters to Latifi, and we
it dedicate go Tifi.
Oh, it's okay.
That's right. His official name.
Okay, we've been over that. Leah loves Latifi.
Appendix. I just now connected.
Yes, this. And Alex had appendicitis, had to also get his appendix removed.
And that's how Nick
got Nick in that one.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, it and just blew out the speaker. So sorry.
All I had to replace. Week. Yeah, that and all like, I had to replace Carlos because of his appendix. Yeah, it's just it's crazy. History literally history repeating itself.
Yeah.
So now it's crazy. Danny Rick might get replaced, and that is actually.
Do we think Helmet actually said that though? Like, would he actually give him an ultimatum?
Helmet says stuff.
I think he talks a lot.
I hope he's just talking and that this is not true, because I would be devastated.
But they did talk about Nick, and that ended up happening.
Yeah. But it's Nick was like, Nick is not Danny Rick. Danny Rick is like, and okay,
he's already out of his prime.
Listen,
he's not performing.
I know, and I think that why he wants to go back to Red Bull so bad is because he was in his prime at Red Bull. I think it was one of the worst decisions he made was to leave Red Bull.
People have said that it was a cowardly move because he didn't want to face Max.
Not cowardly. I just think that he.
I think Renault told him, they're like, we're going to build this entire team around you. And he's like, that sounds like a lot better. Yeah. It was like Nico retiring after one world championship. He retired after a good year.
And then he was there.
Well, not retired.
He was at Renault for a year. And then he went to McLaren, and then we know how that went. And then
he just went backwards. He just kept going backwards.
Yeah. I think
and
he
now
just,
he has no points.
Yeah, I think no. He wants to get back at Red Bull because I think he was in his prime then, which is really sad.
I don't think if the Red Bull seat is open,
you just want Liam in.
I so want Liam in. Liam is I liked him before he was in for Singapore, and
yeah.
And then he
you're
came
an OG
in
fan.
I wasn't a bandwagon fan for Liam, and I wasn't a bandwagon fan for Oscar.
You liked him before
and then,
guitar.
And then guitar and Singapore happened, and I look like a bandwagon fan. But
us for OG Ollie too. We look like bandwagon fans.
We like no, I'm so glad. I'm so glad we weren't though, because
it's like him
like,
and Kimmy, we've watched them race in F2, and then they're like
oh
now
gosh.
Moving up, and
we're
not
here
bandwagons.
First.
Yes. Yeah. With the 600,000 followers,
we were like, he's so underground. Yeah,
we said that in last week's episode. He had like
F2 driver
over half a million followers. Yeah.
Anyway, yes. Moving down,
Checo. I thought he would have problems.
He had a
third
place penalty.
Yeah. Yes. I thought he would have the same issue as Max, though. I mean, daughter.
Yeah.
Hope.
Well, oh, he did say he was having, did he say brake, was it brake problems or
it was
what
the
he was
same
yeah
brake issues, he just didn't
they didn't cause him
fire
to DNF.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Lance
he flew under the radar.
Irrelevant.
Like he was
I yeah
sweet.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Another.
when he like isn't noticed is when he does really good,
because obviously
because only time
what do you mean obviously
is when he's in a wall, so
that's what I was trying to get at. Okay.
But I'm yeah, really mean today.
Side eye.
He doesn't okay go under the radar.
Yuki. Again. Same thing.
Thing. He got
Fernando.
Fernando,
yeah. 20-second penalty, right?
Yep.
Down to P8.
With George.
Yeah. That was deserved.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing really more. We already touched on that. Nico and Kevin.
They got double points. And
I did not
see
even
Hass's
notice.
Post?
I'm so sorry, guys.
Did
I didn't
you see
notice. Hass,
it was so cute. It was like all of it. They're,
speaking
they were
of which,
so happy.
Gunther did the after race interview, and it was a really hard watch because
Charles couldn't understand
him. He has a really thick accent, and it was really loud. There was like stuff going on in the background, and so he asked Charles a question or like said something, and Charles like. Like was looking around. It was
uncomfortable.
Oh, it was. We rewatched it. It was so funny. Then we have Alex. Okay, we'll let Riley talk about this.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So FP1, right? Everything's going great. Logan is
not in the wall.
Logan's not in the wall for once. We're so proud of our American boy, right? And then Logan, complete shunt out of nowhere. Chassis is completely destroyed. Car's done.
Yeah.
Wheel axle's below, like, bad.
It was like George's crash, but
worse, because the same thing happened. His wheel went under the car.
Yeah, but one was in practice, not in the race, so they needed to get back out there for FP2 and to
couldn't fix it in time. They had to fly the car back to headquarters.
And Williams didn't have an extra chassis, so they decided that instead of, you know, just Alex being out because he hit the wall, that they would take Logan's car from him and make him sit on the sidelines for the weekend.
And they put his number on the car.
They took Logan's number off and put it on the car.
That was the worst part of that.
Were y'all watching, when we were watching, was it FP2 and it was Alex's birthday and they were like, Alex's birthday present, Logan Sargent's
car. Yeah, did you hear that?
Yeah. And they said that one of the issues was that because they're on opposite sides of the garage, the where you put the gas in was on opposite sides, so that was an issue for them. And I was just thinking, well, maybe if you didn't
could have been prevented, the cars, and then he didn't even get points. He said he was gonna do it for. Didn't he say he was gonna do it for like, him and Logan?
P11. Something about how Logan was being such a great sport and how it was really admirable that he's stepping
forced
aside.
Well, but obviously, he didn't step aside,
And it's not Alex. It's not Alex's fault either, because Alex. I mean.
Except for him driving into the wall.
That's true, but he can't be like, no, I'm not. Well, I don't know if he can be like, no, I can't.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I can't take that, like, Logan.
He wouldn't turn it down.
No, he wouldn't turn it down.
Exactly.
It's James Val's decision.
Yeah, so it's his fault.
So Alex isn't at fault, except for the crash. But it still sucks that it got taken from Logan. I understand why, though, because Alex had a higher likelihood of scoring points than Logan.
But he didn't.
But he didn't, so it just felt like if they're already taking Logan out for a race, what's the likelihood that they keep him for next season?
Yeah, that's really true.
That's why, against me and Hayden's will, that's why Logan is right here.
That's a good sport.
You know what? He didn't crash, and Max, Lewis, and George did.
They didn't crash, they just DNF'd.
George crashed.
Lewis could have.
So basically, Logan is better than George.
And Lewis and Max. Go USA.
Okay.
I can't wait for Miami. Okay, then we have Daniel.
I just.
Yeah, I was going to say. I could not tell you a single thing he did. Maybe that's just that I don't pay attention.
Yes, but, you do. Like, he's your
guy. We're focused on.
I was focused on Max. I was focused on my actual husband. Yeah. Then Pierre again. I really don't know what was going on with Alpine.
I was more focused. Is surprising.
Listen, I was more focused on Kika than I was Pierre.
The like 5 seconds of fame he had on F1 TV.
His photo dump. Pierre just posted it right before we started filming, and it was Kika with like one of the big heads. It was cute.
Aww.
Pierre got 13th, but that was because there were 3 DNFs. So, and then 4 if you count Logan not racing. So.
The fact that Haas placed
higher than Alpine is like very shocking.
Well, okay, this year Haas is like
it's because Gunther's not there.
Yeah, they're like improving, but Alpine just lost like 10 people.
So really
they're kind of not doing so good right now.
P14.
Valtteri's home race as well.
Yeah, honorary Australian.
No, he's from Finland. But...
He's not Australian. They call him an honorary Australian. Oh, he posted his TikTok.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
Oh no, the Uber one.
I saw way too much of that man.
What?
The
tan line.
I just watched for a few minutes. I just watched for like a second. I was like.
No, I watched the entire thing.
Oh, okay.
I watched him like trying to get out of the car, and I was like,
my dad actually showed it to me, and I was like, oh, okay.
That means he watched it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mullet Man didn't really do anything. Joe.
Once again.
Same thing.
Nothing. Yeah. I mean, I feel like.
The top 10 was so dramatic.
The DNFs and like our top 4.
Yeah.
Nothing really happened in the race, I feel like.
But I feel Max and Lewis both DNFing, like, that's big. Yeah. And then Lewis crashing and Logan getting replaced. Like, I feel like it was obviously the biggest weekend we've had so far. So I feel like we're like, yay, so much happened.
Yeah.
When there's really, like,
Yeah. It was not on that track, much.
It was not too much.
No, but
not many fights or anything.
This was
you're right. City. Interesting. Yeah, Esteban last. I mean, I can't even be shocked.
No.
Okay. Oh. So after that dark note, if you're not a Lando fan, which sorry if you're not, yeah. That I was in the same boat, so I can't really hate on you.
But we went over this in last episode.
Yeah, we need to talk about Chicken Shop Date, which if you don't know, you need to go watch the episode with Amelia and Lando. What were your guys' opinions on it?
Well, you forced me to watch it with you.
I did. I watched it twice.
I've never watched it before. It's a really interesting concept, obviously, because she goes to different chicken shops like everywhere and interviews celebrities, but they're like really awkward questions.
That's what makes it so good.
Yeah, really awkward questions. Like the camera cuts every 2 seconds. Awkward. Yeah, it's like dead silent. It's like it's so awkward that it's like funny. So I don't know. I liked it. It's obviously really funny, and obviously I love Lando. And Lando flirts with literally everything.
He was actually shy in it.
No, he does get shy when people flirt back with him.
She literally talks to him all the time. Like they DM. They DM.
He literally was in our episode last week. What are you talking about?
I don't know if you know.
He came on our podcast.
He came on our podcast.
He sat right where you are.
I know, I watched.
Okay.
Did you?
No, well, honestly just like you can see it that he like gets nervous, which is like it's cute.
I want them to date.
Okay, but she also didn't follow him back.
She did. She refollowed him. Okay, yeah, we need to talk about that. She followed Lando like a while ago and he didn't follow her back, but then he actually did, but she was mad because she thought he didn't. But then after the episode they were like, oh, we should just unfollow each other and like keep it a secret, and they were like, deal. Then she actually unfollowed him and he posted on his Twitter and was like what happened, like we're over, and then she ended up following him back. So
and then also on McLaren's post about Lando's podium, she commented I think she said my guy or something.
My boo. No, she did not.
Lando said my boo. Yeah.
He commented a heart on their post, on the Chicken Shop Date post. So like the heart hands. Wait, I didn't know that. I'm behind.
Oh, surprise.
Wow. Surprise. I love that. Aw. Anyway, go watch it.
We don't actually know anything. This is like speculation, yeah. But.
6 minutes of awkwardness.
Yeah.
It was so good though.
It was really good. There were so many jump cuts. Very, uncomfortable for everyone to watch.
But I think it's such a cool concept.
Yeah.
Like, but I watched it so many times.
Yeah.
And I will keep watching it.
It's like a middle school, like, YouTuber. Like, type. Tumblr.
That's so cute. And then her intro and everything, too.
Yes.
A little stop motion.
Speaking of unfollowing. Daniel and Yuki don't follow each other anymore, which people are saying that Daniel never actually followed Yuki, but Yuki... Or maybe it's the other way around. One of them definitely unfollowed the other, which is really weird as teammates to like, that's like a declaration. Like, that's public. Other people can see it. Oh, they unfollow each other, which, I mean, it's not, like, big news. It's just weird.
Obviously.
I think. Maybe you guys don't think it's that weird.
No, I do, but why would you unfollow each other as teammates? Like,
I try not to read too much into it because they're grown men and social media isn't that...
They probably don't even run their own social media, which means they told their manager to unfollow the other person. That's petty.
Which is really funny.
That's really petty.
Yeah. But I think that would have happened if I don't know. We're making it a big deal and it's really not. But I think...
I don't want to make it a big deal. I just think it's weird.
It definitely is. But I think...
People on social media are making it a big deal.
Yeah.
We're just discussing.
Yeah, we're just telling you.
Just so you know.
We're in the middle about it.
I think they would have done it after the weird team orders. That makes the most sense.
In Bahrain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was also, like...
Forever.
No. Yeah, so I don't know...
Why they waited? Did they even beef this weekend?
Mm-mm.
No one knows, because no one's paying attention to them. Like,
yeah, I kind of feel bad.
They didn't do anything. They didn't crash, so no one noticed.
Shocker.
Daniel posted about it, so...
Because it was his home race.
Yeah. Also, he got his lap time deleted in qualifying, and he was going to start, like, I don't know, not that high, but, like, higher than whatever was P18. So that was kind of annoying. They both kind of got screwed over.
Yeah.
Both Australians. And Valtteri. Honorary.
So. Well, that was a lot to talk about. But, I mean, obviously, like we said, there was a lot that went on this weekend, or so we think, because obviously we're only three races in. But we'll be back next week to go over Japan. And, I mean, I'm so excited. Why would we not be? And then we're only...
Dutch national anthem.
No.
Here we go.
Can't wait.
But we're only... So we have Japan and then China and then we go to Miami.
That's insane. Daniel may or may not be there.
Which will be very sad if he's not.
If Liam's there, please...
I'll still be happy.
Yeah.
But, like, not that happy. Because right when Nick DeVries... Like, the week before he got replaced, I was still getting into it. But I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I love Daniel because of Drive to Survive.
Yeah.
Stop. I loved him. And I was like, I really, because I saw everyone talking about it. And they were like, I want him back in F1. And I was like, oh, my gosh, me too. So I can, like, actually watch him race because, obviously, I never had. Literally, within a week, I swear to God, he replaces Nick DeVries. And I was like, I manifested that. So...
Guys, I really want Liam Lawson in F1 because I really want to see him race.
No, it's because you want to cross it off on your bingo.
I love Liam.
You're an OG Liam fan.
I am.
Before the Lightning McQueen comments.
We don't need to go there.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
That's all.
Go follow our blog and all of our social medias, and we will be back next week to discuss Japan and another Driver Pyramid and to rediscuss all the drama. So we will see you all next week. Love
Bye.
You.
Bye. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode. Stay up to speed by following us on all our social media platforms at F1 Fangirls Podcast.
And if you love this podcast, don't forget to follow and subscribe. I'm Hayden.
And I'm Lyra. Join us next week for our next episode.